Now, the Bible says Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy. So do you know how much grace and mercy you're going to have? If it's according to him, it's like a ton, a ton. And so God moves in quickly, and he is compassionate, full of grace.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, a message on God's divine favor, something we would all like a little more of, or a lot more of for that matter. Well, sometimes it's there for the asking, but the secret is how to ask. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Season of Favor.
The thing about favor is that it's sort of like God gives you what you don't deserve. It's like divine preferential treatment. You get into an accident, and it could have been much worse, but you walk away. You go to a counter at the airport, and you're late, and for some reason, the ticket agent says, oh, we'll hold the plane for you, sir. Just come on down this way. And you think, wow, that's not coincidence. I believe it's the favor of God. The favor of God on your life and on mine. It's known as also the grace of God. Can you ever lose the grace of God? Yes, you can. Can you extend the favor of the grace of God? Yes, you can. And we're going to talk about that today. In fact, Jesus proves it to us in Luke 2:52. It's going to come up on the screen. Would you read it nice and loudly with me? Go. Jesus, say that again. Jesus, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. You can actually increase God's favor, or you can actually diminish it. It's up to us. When God starts off, because the Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy, he starts us off with a full tank. He doesn't send you off with an empty tank. He sends us off with mercy and grace. He always starts us off that way. Favor, how do you define it? Well, favor can be defined as endorsement, confirmation, validation. You know, when I wrote books, I would always ask people that are smarter and bigger, greater than me, to endorse my books. Because if no one endorses my books, I might sell one copy to my mom. That's about it. But I don't know if Oprah still has it, but she used to have a book club. You remember that? And if I had Oprah in her book club, or the president of the United States hold up one of my books and said, man, this is a good book. You got to read it. It would be a New York Times bestseller overnight. Isn't that right? Why? Because of the book? No, because of the endorsement on that book. And the favor of God on a church or on a life or on a business is the favor of God. Now, it'll come in different series and different waves. There's going to be times where God's going to test us to see if we can steward his favor. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, because God's going to prepare us for his favor. And he's going to endorse you. It's one thing. I mean, we all love man's endorsement. But boy, I tell you what, when you get the creator of the universe endorsing you, the redeemer of mankind endorsing you, now that is called a favor of God. That's what we're looking for. But you know, one of the things about endorsements, I could wish for endorsements, I could hope for endorsements, but I would not get one endorsement unless I asked them. I would write them a letter and say, would you endorse my book? I cannot wish for it. I can't just hope and think about it and then complain, why don't I have God's favor? Why don't I have God's endorsement? I've got to ask for it. Why? Because the more you ask for it, the more it tenderizes your heart to be cognizant of the presence of God, the hand of God, the blessings of God. And when you are starting to do something that would shortcut it, or actually truncate it, or abbreviate it, or stop his favor, there's something inside of you like a red flag that just goes, ooh, 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 don't go that way. There's a check in your spirit. The Holy Ghost is going to be telling you, because you've been praying for and asking for. In fact, the Bible says it this way, ask and you shall receive. Knock and you shall have the door open. And if you seek, you will find. So we've got to ask. But in the Greek, did you know that that grammatically is called a progressive tense? It doesn't mean just ask one time. It means ask and keep on asking. It's a continual progressive action. not just a stale event that happened once. It is a progressive thing. So when it says ask and keep asking, well, what if nothing happened? Knock. What if the door doesn't open? Keep knocking. It would say a lot about my heart if I came to your house and I needed something and I knocked on your door like this. Well, they're not answering. Obviously, they don't care. It's like, no, we do that with God. It's like, well, God didn't answer. No, you keep knocking. If no one answers, you keep knocking. Because as I continue knocking, something's happening in my heart. I'm saying, no, I got to have this. God, I got to have this. Lord, would you please? And all of a sudden, the Lord says, ah, there's the heart that I needed. That's what I was looking for. A heart ready to seek and keep asking and keep knocking. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophet was asked by a guy named Naaman the leper. He was a commander in chief of the army, and he had leprosy. So that's why he's called Naaman the leper. And he came to the prophet Elijah and he said, could you heal me of this leprosy? And the prophet said, okay, you go to the Jordan and you dip 7 times in the Jordan. 7 times? Yep. He leaves and says to his servant, this is stupid. Why didn't he just heal me? Why do I have to go to that stinky, muddy Jordan and dip not once, not twice, 7 times? Isn't that embarrassing for a general to do that? And he just rushed off. And the servant said, sir, if he would have asked you to climb to the top of Mount Everest to get your healing, would you have done it?
Yeah.
Well, then you could dip in the Jordan 7 times.
It's embarrassing, but okay.
So he went to the Jordan. Watch this. How many times? 7, sir. 7. This place stinks. It's muddy. It's filthy. How many times was that?
Just 1.
6 more. 6 more. Is anybody watching? Is there any cameras around?
No, sir.
Don't you dare take photos of this and put it on Facebook. 2. Whew. Man, this is crazy. How many more?
5, sir.
About the 3rd time. Lord, I've been a hard man, huh? Forgive me, God. If you ask me to do it 20 times, I do it. God, thank you for being so gracious. On the 7th time, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And just then the servant says, sir, look, your skin. My leprosy's gone. Yes, it's almost like the Lord said, I wasn't waiting to heal you. I was waiting to heal your heart. Because your heart is more important. When your heart is there and you kept knocking, you were willing to keep asking. And it wasn't for your health. It was for your heart. Because once I get your heart changed, healing is easy. And so there's going to be times where the favor of God will run in a circuitous route because God's preparing us for his favor. But you've got to seek it. So the first way of increasing favor is, would you write down 1, seek God's favor. You got to ask. You got to ask. And when you do, something starts happening to your heart. When you keep knocking, when you keep dipping, you keep being obedient step by step. So then we learn to be obedience-oriented, not just result-oriented. Because if we're result-oriented, if God doesn't answer, it's like, forget it, then he doesn't love me. Why would God do that? Why wouldn't he answer? It's like, you keep asking. Because your heart has a long way to go. You know, some of us wish for God's favor. Some of us hope. But the question is, are you seeking? Because you see, when you seek the favor of God, you become cognizant of his presence, sensitive to his hand, and you start giving audience to the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you. Otherwise, we're ignorant of one of the greatest gifts of all, the Spirit of the living God. When you're seeking God's favor, you're going to ask for counsel. You're going to ask for advice. You're going to ask for people to help you. See, a lot of times we just wish for God's favor. And when it doesn't happen, we blame God. Like, well, he guess he doesn't love me. And God is saying, no. Seek my favor because it's going to do something great to your heart. See, a lot of times people really don't want to obey God. They just want the blessings of someone who did. A lot of times we really don't want to work on our marriage. We just want the blessings of someone who did. We really don't want to be faithful. We just want the blessings of someone, the favor of someone who did. And God says, that's not available. You must be someone that seeks my favor. And when you do, you'll see what takes place. So you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, because there's a heart involved that God is looking at. But the second thing is, and I'm going to say, do two things quickly. Okay, the first is seek God's favor. Second is do two things quickly. The first is obey quickly, and the second, repent quickly. Because we don't always obey very well. Obey quickly. I remember some time ago, a dear friend of mine was in the hospital for just a normal, run-of-the-mill kind of situation, and he was going to have a small surgery. And so the Lord just really spoke to my heart and said, go see him, go visit him, go pray for him. I thought, oh, this Saturday, I got church tomorrow, so I'll do it, you know, after church maybe. After church came, and I was just too tired, and I said, you know, I'll go, Monday's my day off, I'll go Monday. Monday came, and I was so tired. I said, Tuesday, I'll go. And the Holy Spirit just kept poking me. Tuesday morning, I get a call. Your friend just passed away 30 minutes ago. And I thought, oh my. Did you know that delayed obedience is still disobedience? Because there's a timing to the things of God. And sometimes we wait and wait, and something over there festers, gets infected. By the time we say, oh, okay, and we acquiesce, it's just almost irreparable at that time. And then we wonder why so many bad things are happening. You see, God calls us to obey quickly. First of all, obey quickly. I'm going to read something to you out of the New Testament, and it won't come up on the screen, but this is out of John 14, and it says this. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come and make his home with them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They're my Father's who sent me. All of this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you, convict you, usher you, will remind you of the things that I have said to you. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I'm not going to give you the peace of the world. No, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. And I read that and I think, John 14 says, he who loves me will keep my commandments, and he will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and make my home with them. I thought, oh, wow. You see, obedience quickly is an important part of increasing the favor of God. We get to obey quickly. Let's read what this says as he continues in John 16. That was 14. Let's read what John 16 says. Would you read it with me? Go. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit's going to say to you, be careful. Don't let the world tell you what the difference is between right and wrong. It's going to be wrong. By the way, the devil will often give you two options, like multiple choice, and both are wrong. So the Bible says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who's going to teach you all things. And I'm going to prove that the world was wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Don't let the media tell you how to think, especially TikTok. Don't let your college professors determine your morals. This is my Bible and the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do, for I am a citizen of heaven. Can you say amen to that, Bible creed? And the Lord says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you, he's going to guide you. Oops, he's going to sometimes poke you so that you'll move to obedience quickly, because there's a timing of the things of God. Well, you say, well, Wayne, what if I mess up like you did with a hospital visit? Second is repent quickly. Don't wait. Don't delay. Because the wages of sin is what? And the longer it stays in you, the more it erodes you. And if you finally, after a while, finally, lately, later, way down the road, kick the can down the road, repent, it's already going to leave a damage in your heart that needs to be repaired. And some never will. Repent quickly. When you mess up, I tell people, when you mess up, crow is best eaten warm. Repent quickly. Don't delay. Ask God for his forgiveness. And when he forgives, he wraps your sin up in the blood of Christ and is remembered no more. Let's read again out of David's book, Psalm 145. Would you read this on the screen? Go. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. God is so gracious, or grace-giving and compassionate. Well, why does he get down on sin so much? Does he just like to rain on people's parades? No. He created you. Because he created you, he wants the best for you. And when he sees us eroding our own lives, he jumps in and says, don't do that. Don't sin. Why? Because I know how I made you. I know how your future is supposed to go. I knew you before you were born. You see, we're not punished for our sin. We're punished by our sins. See the difference? God is not some ogre wanting to punish you, step on you, and say, no, no, you don't do that. No, he's a God that knows how we were created. And so he rushes in and says, don't. You just ate up a bunch of your future. You just sacrificed a bunch of your future. You're forfeiting the favor of God. Don't do that. And we say, well, who do you think you are? Why are you raining on my parade? No, 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 I'm not. I'm blessing your future. And so God moves in quickly, and he is compassionate, full of grace. He's not someone who is going to demean. In fact, let's read Ephesians 4:7 in the New Testament. Would you read this next scripture? Go. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's. Now, the Bible says Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy. So do you know how much grace and mercy you're going to have? If it's according to him, it's like a ton, a ton. But I'm about to share something with you you probably haven't heard before. Would you read this next verse? This is out of Revelation 3:5. Read it with me. Go. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not his name. From the book of life. I will not what? Erase. That means it was already written. So he won't erase it. Now, this is just my viewpoint. So it's not like foolproof. But I'm thinking, if you're not going to erase, God, you always start things off good. You created, 'twas evening and 'twas morning, first day, and God said it was good. God always creates good. Ecclesiastes, God made man upright. But we have sought out many sinful devices. Okay, you start off good, right? You start off with grace. You start off with love. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like this. It's like God said, in the beginning, I actually, if this were you and me, I'm going to start off by giving you a full cup of grace to the brim. Just imagine that full. I don't start you off at the bottom of a pit. I start you off with great grace. Full of grace, full of mercy, because we were given grace according to Christ's gift. Now, when you were conceived, God wrote your name in the book of life. When you were conceived, when you were born, before you were born, because in Jeremiah 1, it says of Jeremiah, the Lord said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. I called you by name, and I commissioned you to be a prophet to the nations. Did you know when Jeremiah got his calling? When he was still an embryo. So it's almost like God says, as soon as you were conceived, I want you to be in heaven with me. I want you to be in heaven with me. That's why I'm so against abortion, because it's like, God, you knew that embryo. You actually put a ministry in that person's heart. They're ready to go in the beginning. So let's say God writes your name in the book of life because he always starts off with good. So he wants, otherwise he wouldn't have had you born if he didn't want you to share in the mansion. He says, in my father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. You, plural. In 2 Peter 3, it says, God is willing that none should perish. How many? None. I looked that word none up in the Greek. It doesn't mean a Catholic sister. I looked up the word none. It means nobody. So God is willing that how many should perish? Nobody. But that all come to repentance. We're going to talk about that in a second. All come to repentance. In the book of Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, he says, it is not my desire that any of the wicked should perish, but that they would turn so that they might live. Oh, you want everyone to be in heaven. Absolutely. So it's almost like when you were born, God had written your name in the Lamb's book of life. But if we don't overcome, if we refuse to repent, if we hang on to our sin, if we reject God with tears, our names get erased. He always starts off with grace. But sometimes we, especially in our society today, we don't like people telling us that we sin. However, just think if this were full of grace, because Christ is full of grace. But when we sin, it's like a golf ball. These are some golf balls that I haven't lost yet. So if I drop that golf ball in there and then another, and then another. If this were full of water, what's happening to the water? What's happening to the water? Yeah, it's displacing the water with my sin. Now, is God taking his grace away? No, I'm forfeiting his grace. Let me transfer your attention now to this graphic so that, because I didn't want to use water, it'd go all over. But if this were the vessel and I harbor a sin. Now, a little bit of grace is going to leak out. But I think, oh, nothing's happening. I still have God's grace. There's no consequences. And the book of Psalms says that the unrighteous say, look, God doesn't do anything when I mess up. And so you know what it causes me to do? Mess up some more. And I put another sin in here, put another one here, put another one here, put another one here. What's happening to the grace of God? It's being displaced by my sins. And so now we say, what's going on? It's like God doesn't love me anymore. His grace has been lifted. No, it hasn't been lifted at all. You've displaced it by unresolved sin. You see, it's not sin that destroys God's people. It's unresolved sin. In just a moment, I want us to pray. And we're going to pray and ask God to help us to be a people who understand the favor of God, how to extend it. We're going to look for a preferred future and thank God for his goodness and move forward. And if there's stuff on the inside, don't you dare hold on to it, because you'll forfeit the favor of God. And my greatest prayer is that we'll have the hand of God on our families, our lives, our business, and our church over this next season. Are you in on that one? You ready for that? Me too. Good. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and then we'll sing our final song. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf, but also to resolve sin, not just ours, but those who may have sinned against us. But we're not going to transfer their sins to us and then it causes bitterness. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be a people that's transparent, people that keep our eyes fixed on you, seeking the favor of God so that we can extend and increase in the favor of God, even as Jesus increased in favor with God and with man. So Lord, thank you for the season of favor that lies before us. We will steward it well. Thank you that we will seek you for the favor of God, and we will indeed obey quickly. And when we stumble, we will repent quickly, that we might receive the grace of God and the restoration of the favor of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? Seal that with a clap offering, would you? Come on.
You've been listening to a message entitled A Season of Favor. by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has been a blessing to you today and that you will truly be living your life wholeheartedly in the favor of God. Once again, here is a reminder from Pastor Wayne.
Now, the Bible says Jesus is full of grace and full of mercy. So do you know how much grace and mercy you're going to have? If it's according to him, it's like a ton, a ton.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Do you remember the 2 points Pastor Wayne told you to write down? Number one, seek God's favor. And number two, when necessary, repent quickly. Until we meet next time, God bless you richly during this season of favor.